Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland, so welcome back again. I'm commenting on Petersburg International Economic Forum, which took place over 4 days, just ending today. So it's been going since 1998, if memory serves me. So this, the 25th edition, I think it is, did they skip a year, is really the most underwhelming yet. It really has been a damp squib. Long gone are the days when the presidents of major countries or the prime ministers of major countries would attend. And there were very few foreign guests from only 15 countries. Often there were well over 100. So even the main major Russian corporations didn't want to send people. They had to arms twisted into doing so because they had to pay like $20,000 per ticket. So it's obviously in Putin's hometown, dates back to before he was president or even prime minister. So they used to call it the Russian Davos, but it's had a very unimpressive showing. So foreign investors used to be hammering on the doors to get in. There's no longer a press of applicants for tickets because Western investors and politicians are staying away in droves. Obviously, before that was coronavirus. So, this is really a shadow of its former self. So the Russians really struggled to get anybody notable to show up. They had, I think, was the Prime Minister of Cuba. Fair enough, they didn't have heads of state. The President of the United Arab Emirates, the President of Armenia, which is a very small country, which is desperately dependent on Russia. So he couldn't really not go. And there was President, of Algeria. Some Belarusian delegates, a Kyrgyz delegate, and that was about it. Which I think nobody at all, from any European Union country, or the United States, other Western countries like Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, nobody showed up. Anyway, you might have hoped, if you're the Russians, that there'd be a major Chinese representative or an important figure from India. Nope, diddly squat. The Ruskies were banking on President Qasym Jomart Tokayev of Kazakhstan rocking up, but he didn't. You may remember how he exchanged testily with President Putin last year when he said that Kazakhstan did not recognize Lugansk and Donetsk as part of the Russian Federation. They're regarded as still Ukrainian sovereign soil, which they indubitably are. So the last possible moment he announced he wouldn't be coming. So the Russian regime cares deeply about prestige. Previously, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel used to go. Prime ministers of Italy, like the now late Silvio Berlusconi, used to go. The Japanese prime minister, various Indian prime ministers, including Narendra Modi, President Xi has been before, but there are no major world leaders. And then they previously had to pretend that Donetsk and Luhansk were foreign countries. But wait a second, you're now saying that they're part of Russia. Anyway, there used to be major deals that were inked there, but it no longer. Is there any point in this going ahead? Because it costs quite a lot of money to put on. So many sovereign investors have pulled out. There's very little capital inflow into Russia. And even the war ends today, it's been taking a very long time to repair that reputational damage and get back trust. And in fairness, there are some people who are itching to get back into the Russian market because there's still significant money to be made, at least for a few decades to come. So if Russia ends the war now, which I think unlikely, and they still illegally occupying country, part of Ukraine, part of another country, then not many investors would come back. If they completely withdrew, very unlikely, then some more investors would come back. But to go back to normality as it was in February 2022, that is going to take a very long time. I mean, several years probably wouldn't be enough, decades more like it, by which time Russia would just be hollowed out as we're moving away from oil and gas and towards hydrocarbons. So Russia's illegally occupied regions in Georgia, like South Ossetia and Abkhazia, they sent people. Now, Hungary sent its foreign minister, which I think is the highest level representative of any European Union country. Prime Minister Orban Viktor liked to keep his options open and to get the cheap oil and gas. So the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum would not allow any journalists in from unfriendly countries, which of course means the countries that recognize that Ukraine is a sovereign state, which has been subjected to an illegal and unprovoked invasion by Putin's fascist regime. anyway, so they were hoping that the erstwhile chief executive officer of Google, Eric Schmidt, would show up, but he didn't, and instead he said he supports Ukraine's fight for freedom. So they've had various nobodies like the leader of the Donetsk People's Republic, Denis Pushilin, who spoke there. Now, the theme is supposed to be future technology, and Russia's rather a laggard in tech, despite really knowing it needs to plow ahead with this. And obviously, its lack of prowess in future tech is one of the reasons it's doing badly in the Ukraine war. Not that Russia is going to be comprehensively defeated soon, could hang on for a year, maybe 2 years, and there's a slim chance Russia will actually win. I always guard against, you know, my side bias or optimism, excessive optimism. Anyway, so they said that some of the speakers have said they'd be paid rewards if they're given any Western-made tanks which have been destroyed by Russia, the wreckage, and so on. Anyway, there were lots of security guards there, and people's mobile phones were messed up when Putin was coming, supposedly for security reasons. You know, you had to log into their Wi-Fi, stuff like that. They said it was to guard against a drone attack. I'm not sure how it made it less likely, but they're worried that was going to happen. Anyway, so the automotive industry is really trying to showcase its rust bucket cars like the Lada X-Cross 5. And it's going to be following these Chinese plans in future. Nissan has pulled out of Russia. The former Nissan factory in St. Petersburg is going to build it. Anyway, so there's not really much they can do for future tech. So Russian business executives had to pay over $14,000. Foreign executives, $27,000. For what? For almost no investment opportunities. So they were strong-armed into showing up, some of these Russian business executives. What do you get for your money? It's really not worth it. So they tried to start trying to pretend that everything is normal, it's all going swimmingly and so on, but that's patently not the case. The very, very poor showing is an example of that. Would they have been better off cancelling it? I think marginally the decision to go ahead was the right one. It would have sent an even worse message if they cancelled it. How about next year? Will they even get three heads of state to show up? Possibly not. In what state will the Russian economy be a year from now? A bit worse. But, you know, in fairness to the Putin regime, the sanctions have not bitten as deep as many thought or hoped, including myself. But they might start to bite a bit more. The ways of circumventing sanctions by import substitutions not really working. They used to buy tech via Kazakhstan and Armenia and sell it on, you know, buy it from Western countries by ordering from Armenia, who indeed would order from Western country. And Western countries have got wise about that, threatened secondary sanctions. So these workarounds are going to be harder to do in future. Pay even more circuitous routes, order it from whatever, Georgia, which orders from Armenia, which orders from Canada or whatever. Is even that going to work? So it's going to be increasingly tricky. So thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Of course, I really need donations to keep the channel going. So remember, I'll help you with essays or interview practice, elocution lessons, dissertations, theses, and so forth. All right, everybody. And don't forget, I'm a tour guide in London, guiding somebody over the next 10 days. Toodaloo.